good to be here. Tony asked me, he said, I guess it's you. I said, yep, it's me. He said, so you going to sing? I said, yep, we're going to empty the building right away. good to be here tonight. We're going to bypass the music unless you had something planned, Jack. I didn't think so. So we come in and sit down over there without his guitar. I didn't think he had, so that's okay. That's fine. So we'll bypass the music and get into prayer and the message tonight and talking about unified in prayer this time as today. And next week, we're going to go ahead and just give you a heads up or a hint or whatever. Next week, we're going to be talking about unifying and seeking God's man. And so we're going to be talking about calling the next pastor. What's our duty? What's our responsibility? Some of you are reading that book that was given to you, The Church and the Search, During the Search. It's a great book. It's a good book. I was given that book, copy of that book, I don't know, months ago when it first came out, maybe a year ago. And I had not read the whole thing, and so I'm going through it all, reading it again now, and I really enjoy Jason and what he's written there. It's a good resource for us, for all churches. Let's start with prayer. Father God, we come to you tonight, and I just thank you for who you are, God Almighty, God above, and God of all creation. Father, we can sit here and just start listing the names that we know you as, and just go on for the next probably 20, 30 minutes. But Father, we just are so grateful that you have allowed us to be part of your family, the family of God. We're so grateful that you've allowed us to be in your service and serving you in different ways, various ways and means and different ministries and different ways of life. And Father, I'm grateful for the variations, the various people here and the gifts that they have and what they do for you and how they use those for you and how you've called them. I'm grateful for the calling on not only my life, but the life of the people that you have in front of me tonight as well. I'm thankful for those who are serving in other parts of the facility right now, in Awana. And I was up there with them a few minutes ago, and with the youth downstairs, I was with them as well. And Lord, I just thank you that we have willing servants ready to help to encourage, engage, and to evangelize our younger ones, and that they're willing to do this, Lord, on a regular basis, on a weekly basis, some multiple times a week. And even though I know some of them would like to be in here, I just pray that you would give them time to listen to these messages and these Sunday evening services on the podcast that Frank's creating. And Lord, that you would just bless them as you bless us, Lord, as we walk through these, and then as a church that we can join together in prayer, Lord, throughout the week, praying together certain things and same things and through certain the same scriptures on the daily basis. Father, be with us now as we talk about this and look into some of your scripture and pray and lift up our voices and our hearts to you as we pray. Lord, we're praying tonight to be unified in prayer. Deepen our prayer life this week, O Lord, as we come to you each day and even in this hour. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, again, thank you all for being a part of this. And I've heard a few comments, and actually most of them were good comments about this past week and what you thought about the handout that you had and praying through those for the week. I'm just going to do this. Since we didn't have music today, if I start right now, we're going to finish real early, and you don't want that. I know you like to be here at least that full hour, so I don't want to cut you out of here too early. But I'm going to just throw out there and ask you, what are some of your thoughts after completing 1 week and doing this? We did it Sunday night, went through what the first part of unity was using Ephesians 4, 1 through 6, and then you had the handout and used that this week, hopefully, in prayer. For the 5 days, I'm praying it along with you. I wrote these, but I'm also praying it right along with you through the week. And then Mike James was here. I spoke with Mike again last night. He was here Wednesday since I was not able to be here. He really enjoyed his time with you, really enjoyed walking through that time with you. So what are some of your thoughts? Give me some feedback. Give me some of your thoughts, things that you liked, things that maybe could have been a little bit better, or things that you didn't like that. Of course, that's not going to be anything that I did, but maybe it's something you didn't like that somebody else did. No, just whatever it is. Just what are some of your feed? What would be some of your feedback, some of your comments? That's kind of the response I expected at first, since I threw it out there on you. What kind of comments, what kind of feedback would you give on doing this? Yes, ma'am.
I enjoyed it. I started out reading it and praying like it said, just as what I thought I should do. But by the time I got to the second day, it was more felt in my heart of what I was to read. By the time I got to the third, I could notice a change each day. And the place that I noticed the most changes are at the bottom, which really made me think, complete this prayer with the thoughts that God has laid on your heart as you have prayed. And that's a real eye-opener, I think.
Excellent.
That's how it affected me.
Okay.
I read it every day.
Thank you. Hopefully you all heard that. If not, she started off the first day just praying it as it was read. But by the second day, she realized that she was internalizing it, making it her own. That's my word. I use the internalized word. But she said she was making it her own and praying it. By the third day, she realized how deep she was going. And said the part that really meant the most or felt the most to her was the last part in each one where I ask you to continue this prayer or this prayer line, however it worded each day, according to how God has spoken to your heart right now. And that's where she could feel God there. And that's my hope. That's my prayer, is that through that, that God will use that to help us to deepen our prayer life. I'm not saying that we have shallow prayer lives, but there's always room for improvement, right? And I'll share that as we go in here. Somebody else, another comment. Thank you so much. That's excellent, and that's what that encourages me. It's going to be a long night if y'all don't talk. What would you say? Somebody else, a comment on it? Yes, Jack.
I think it's given us a focus. It's given us a direction. I think the church has been sort of listing, sort of been neutral. And I think it is whether it's a larger step or a smaller step, I think it's a step in the right direction to get us refocused.
Okay, good. And I appreciate that, because that, again, is should be one of our intents, is to bring focus back into the church. So we're not out there just wandering aimlessly. This little group's doing this, or this group's praying for this, or this group's, we're praying, we're doing things, but let's focus on our prayer lives together for at least one part of our prayer life. Let's focus on what God wants and how He wants to grow me individually. Now, don't you pray just for George. You pray for George, but you also pray for you and how God wants you to grow individually, and then as how we grow corporately as a church too. Going back to something that was said a few minutes ago, I've never heard anyone on their deathbed or of anyone on their deathbed who said, "I wish I had prayed less." I've never heard that. Have you? Never heard anybody say, "I wish I had prayed less. I wish I hadn't spent as much time in prayer." Never heard that from anyone about anyone on their deathbed. But I have heard the opposite. I have heard people make the claim that they wished or they should have prayed more, and that they would wish they had spent more time in prayer. As a nation, we need believers in Christ to pray more. We need believers in Christ to pray more earnestly. And that's another thing that we're hoping will happen out of here, like you were talking about, that we will pray more earnestly. Not that our prayers have not been earnest, but oftentimes, and I'll probably share this on a Sunday morning too, because this is just one of my talking points, but oftentimes our prayers have become rote. It's just, they're just rote. We're praying the same things that we've heard all of our lives. I'm blessed and privileged when I'm not doing interims that I get to travel around different churches and be in different churches. And I can go in churches in any Southern Baptist church or almost any evangelical church in the country on a Sunday morning, and I'll hear the same prayer no matter where I'm at. Same prayers. If we have an offering prayer, most of the churches have cut out what you might say an offering prayer and doing similar to what we do here. But during that time, we'll have someone will, in that prayer, in that offering prayer, will pray, "Bless the gift and the giver," right? It's just automatic. It's going to come out. That's what's part of that prayer. And then, at the end of the service, if we close the service with a prayer, what we hear is someone will always say, and put a hedge of protection around us, or to keep us until we come back again. We're just going to hear those prayers because we're praying what we've heard somebody else pray. We're praying what we've been taught. We're praying from here. Rote. Just praying what we've always prayed. And too often, even in our homes, that prayer, our prayer times become rote. And so we're praying, we've become experts, and I wrote this in one of my blog posts a couple of weeks, about 3 or 4 weeks ago. We've become experts at praying from our head. God wants us to pray from our heart. And so we need to get back to praying from our heart. That's the reason I pray scripture every Sunday. It's the reason I talk about prayer so much. And I've not come to the pinnacle of this, folks. I'm guilty. I'm talking to myself. We just need to pray more. When I pray, I always pray for more. When I read the Bible, I'm always, I think right now, anymore, I pretty much think that I pray when I read. I'm praying scripture because I pray scripture so much. And I want to see what is that. And I mentioned this morning about when we read it, our intent should be when we read scripture to change our attitude. God changed my attitude about this, about whatever it is going on in my life with this scripture. And I honestly believe that that's one reason, I'm using that as an excuse maybe, but that's one reason I pray so, I read so slowly is because I pray that way. I read scripture and try to pray it. I want to pray that scripture. I want God touch me, show me, and help me to be like that person that's saying, you are my stronghold. God, you are my stronghold, but be my stronghold. Help me where I try to take the reins away from you. To allow you to be my stronghold where we're at. We need to pray for unity. We've been talking about that here at the church. We need to pray for unity among believers nationwide, but we need to pray for unity in our own church. We need to pray for holiness. We need to pray for spirit, Christ-like spirit. We need to pray for sound spirit, scriptural doctrine. We need to pray for all these things, and we're going to look at these this week. We need to pray for renewed fellowship, and that is actually one of the days this week we're going to actually pray for renewed fellowship of our body of believers here at Central. We need to pray for renewed fellowship within the church. We need to pray for current leadership and the future leadership of the church. When I say leadership, I'm not just talking about senior pastor. I'm talking about everyone in leadership roles. And we're all in leadership at some place in our lives and at some place in the church usually. When we pray, we come into agreement with God. And as a result, we come into agreement with one another. When we all, and that's another reason why we're doing this together, when we all pray together, when we're all praying the same likeness of prayer and changing it from just praying from here or praying what I want to pray, if we're praying scripture and praying these types of prayers that we've, you know, I write out and give you part of them to start with, when we pray in agreement, we're praying, we can come into agreement with God. And that's what prayer is about, isn't it? It's about getting our will to come into agreement with God's will. It's not about getting God to change his will. That's what we try to do a lot of times, but it's not about that. It's about we come into agreement with God, and once we come into agreement with God and everybody else is coming into agreement with God, then what else is the outcome except we come into agreement with one another? And so that brings unity, and will bring unity to our church again. And so I'm looking forward to all of this happening. But before this will happen, each one in this church must empty our prayer lives of our selfish desires, our own selfish wants, our selfish prayers. And we don't try to pray selfishly, I think, in most cases. But when we think about it and look at it, we pray for our own comforts. Think of the way we pray. We pray for our selfish desires. Well, here's one that's, you say, well, no, because we do a lot of prayer. Like on Wednesday nights, we pray for all the sick. We pray for that. And that there's nothing wrong with that. That's good. But I've said before in other churches, I believe that we spend more time praying to keep God's saints out of heaven than we do sinners out of hell. Think about that one for a minute. We spend more time praying to keep God's saints out of heaven than we do sinners out of hell. Because even think about our prayer time and our prayer meetings on Wednesday night, do we spend more time praying for the sick and those who are in the hospital or those with illnesses? Or do we spend more time praying for the lost people that we know? We spend more time No, and there's nothing wrong with that. We need to pray for that. But we sometimes neglect the lost and the lost world around us. The Great Commission actually doesn't, and I'm not picking on it, not saying it's bad, but the Great Commission actually doesn't say anything about the sick, does it? But it says go and reach the lost. It talks about the lost. And so we do need both, but my point is we spend more time on the one side neglecting oftentimes the other. So we need to empty ourselves of ourselves and our own selfish desires. And it may not seem like selfish desires when I say that. When you think about your prayer life, you go, well, I'm not really praying selfishly. Well, when you look at it and look back at your prayers and think about your prayers when you're praying, are you praying for a Great Commission act? Are you praying for a move of God? Are you praying for God to move you into something that you've never been comfortable doing? Or are you praying more that, as long as I don't have to change, Lord, I just, you know what? I'm comfortable sitting here. Don't ask me to sit over here because then I'd have to look at the preacher this way and I'm not sure I can do that. Now, I actually had somebody tell me that one time. And so how are we praying? Are we praying? Is that it's not easy to change that prayer time, life sometime, but hopefully we're going to see God change us in some of that way, because it's easy to say that we're not selfish. It's easy to say that our prayer lives are not about us. It's easy to say that our prayer lives are trying to get in line with God, but most of our prayers are more about getting God to agree with us. God, heal this person. Well, God's going to heal that person one way or another. And so we just think, God, help us to get in line with your desire. Help us to accept what you want from us and to understand that and to help others as we walk through this valley. And so it's easy to say that we're not selfish in our prayers, our prayer life, yet a close look at our prayer lives oftentimes will reveal that the overwhelming majority of our prayers are about us and what we want, okay? We pray that we want what God wants, but then in our minds and our hearts, we add those words like I was talking about this morning, the howevers, the exceptions. We add those things in our minds and our heart. As long as it costs me little or nothing, God, then I'm okay with it. Do that. Lord, I want to do whatever you want me to do. I'll go anywhere you want me to go. And then somebody comes up to you and say, I'm getting together a trip to go to Africa. Well, you know, God, was that you? I said I'd go anywhere. I meant anywhere here in this building. I'll go anywhere and serve here, but hey, you want me to go to Africa? You know, when we lived in Georgia, I went to California for a mission trip. As you read in the book, those of you shared with me today, you've already read the book or you've heard me share before, we never even thought about taking a vacation in California. But I went out to California, paid my own way, went out there and spent about 5 days on a mission trip. And that was to be the extent of my time in California. I was just going out there and consulted with about 14 churches in 4 days or 5 days. And then we spent a day in San Francisco touring. And that was it. That's all I committed to do. I wasn't going to do anything else. I had no intent of going back to California. 8 months later, we're living in California. While we're in California, I had an opportunity to go to Mexico on a mission trip. You know what my wife said? Oh, no, you're not. She would have gone if that's where God had called us to go or allowed me to go there to that. But she knew that was that the last time I took a mission trip, we ended up living in that place. And we hadn't even talked about it. But she loves it. I was sharing with some of the people at lunch. They asked me about my wife. Does she travel with me? No, one of us has to work for a living. And that's her. She works for a living. I get to do what I love to do. But she works from home now. She started in January just working from home. And she works for medical companies, and she does clerical medical records type stuff. She went with me to California one trip after we'd moved back here. We had been back here for 6 or 7 years, I guess, by that time. And I was out there doing 14 days, I think, that time, a 14-day trip. And her birthday always fell on a trip when I was there every year for several years because there's a big convention I went out and helped with and spoke at every year and until COVID. Actually, COVID, I went the week before, and then I came home, and they shut everything down after that. But I said, why don't you come out this 1 year? It's about 6 or 7 years ago now, and why don't you come out the last 4 days? I only have one more speaking engagement, and we'll spend 3 or 4 days visiting friends and that kind of thing. And so she came out, and she got homesick for California. She missed it that much. Somebody asked if we liked our time in California. We loved our time in California. We've loved everywhere we've lived, everywhere God's had us for that. And I think part of that's attitude and perspective there, but part of it is just enjoying seeing God at work and watching God at work through your life wherever you're at. And I hope and pray that you are at that place and have been in that place in your life that you can always pray and thank God for wherever He's got you at. So we pray certain things, and are in our minds a lot of times we say, as long as I don't have to do this. Now, when we moved to California, we never said, God, we won't. We just said, God, until you close the door, we won't close the door. And if you've read the book, you've read that part where we said, you know, God, a lot of people, that would have been a door closer for God, because they could not pay us enough to move out there, just to live out there. They were $10,000 short. There's no way that we could make it living out there. And to a lot of people, that would have been a door closer. But because of what we'd seen God do in the past, it was not a door closer for us. And so it never entered our prayer life. The only thing that we prayed was, God, to some that may be a door closer, but until you close that door, we're not going to close it. And so I'm sharing that with you to say, you know, again, I'm not there. I've not arrived. I'm not going to say that I'm at the pinnacle of my prayer life. I want to be, but I want you to be at that place too. I want us all to be at that place where we can say, you know what? In my past, I would have said, no, God, that's not me. That's not who I am. But right now, I'm saying, God, I'm not going to close that door until you close that door. You see, folks, it's not about staying in your comfort zone. Prayer is about, God, stretch me out of my comfort zone. Stretch me to be somebody else, to be something more greater than I even imagine that I can be. And so much so, and this is the way I pray it. God, I want it to be so much so, I want it to be so much you that there's absolutely no way that anybody can look and say, look at him. I want people to say, look at what God has done. And when I leave this church, as I say this to every church I've been in, and you'll hear me say it on Sunday mornings sometimes, but when the time comes and you're ready to call your next man and God moves me away from this church as your interim pastor, when I see you in the future or when I hear about you or see you on social media, any of that, I don't want to hear, you're the one that taught us, you're the one that did this. I want, God did this while you were there. It's what God did. Because without God, George didn't do nothing. I know from whence I came. I know who I am. And without God, none of this is possible. And so I want us to be that much in unity in prayer that we're lifting each other up that way, that whatever happens in that person's life, God, make it so great that there's absolutely no way that anybody can say it was anything except you. There's no way that what happened in that church or this church, whatever. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more in just a few minutes. But the Apostle Paul wrote that we must die daily. And that's what this is, what we're talking about. We must die daily to ourselves. He doesn't mean physical death. This means that we need to bury our own desires. We must bury our pleasures, our desire for pleasure, and our desire for comfort. We must bury that daily to follow God's directive that we talked about last week. God's directive. What's His directive? He's got a calling. He's got a directive on your life. And once we get to this point in our personal lives, once we, as a majority of us, get to this point in our personal lives, then we can pray wholeheartedly for God's desires for the body of Christ at Central Baptist Church. And so it starts with us individually. Our prayerful desire, this thing, I need to get one of these. It's got a little bit tighter thing on it because I push it on and it goes down. Keep your hands behind it. But our prayerful desire should be to see the power and the possibilities of a church unified in the name of Jesus Christ, under one purpose, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. That should be our prayerful desire. And hopefully you'll work through some of that this week with that as your prayer. In Romans chapter 15, verses 5 and 6, it says this. It says, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Jesus, with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 15, verses 5 and 6. You see, folks, we are to be unified in prayer. That's God's intent. That's God's design, is for us to be unified in prayer as a body of believers. And that's why we're doing this series and working together, praying together, using the same prayers or same prayer guides through the week. We are to be unified in prayer as a body of believers, understanding that our prayers are not to be about our wants, but aligning our will with God's perfect will. My prayer life is not to ask God to align everyone else's plans and your ideas to my thinking. It's not. Even as your pastor, my prayer life is not to ask God to align everyone else's plans and your ideas with mine. My prayer life is to ask God to change my thinking, because it has to start here. It has to start with me. In your life, it has to start with you. My prayer life is to ask God to change my thinking and align my thinking with His will, what He wants, what He desires. So let's pray in that vein right now. God Almighty, where I have fallen in aligning my prayer life with what you want from me, please forgive me. Where my prayer life is mostly made up of my petitions, asking you to do what I want, change my heart. Change my heart to truly seek your desire in everything that I pray. Forgive me and create a clean heart within me. A heart that wants to lay aside what I want to be. A heart that wants to lay aside what I want so that I might better understand what you truly want and what you desire from me. Lord, bring into us, this church, a harmony beyond our natural ability. Bring among us a harmony so strongly aligned with your will that even the Christian community around us is brought to recognition of the power of Yahweh, the great I Am. Break our hearts for your moving. Begin with my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you imagine what this would look like? I mean, I just, that's really praying that scripture from Romans chapter 15. But can you imagine what this would look like? That if God brought such a harmony into this church that it was so strongly aligned with His will that even the Christian community around us would recognize that's God like we've not seen God before. Can you imagine what that would do to ignite an awakening, not just here in the church, but in Bourbon County, and it would spread like a wildfire? I'd love to see that happen right here. Do you believe God's truly capable of doing something like that? He's capable, whether we believe it or not. He's capable of doing something like that. And so we need to be praying in that vein. You know, when I'm praying these prayers, I don't know, I've not shared this yet, I don't think, last week or this week or at any time. But any time I'm praying, whether it's scripture or somebody else is praying up here, one of the deacons are praying when they do their prayers, or Mickey's praying or somebody else. Anytime, one of the best ways to learn to pray, one of the best ways to keep your mind focused on prayer during those times. Any of you have a difficulty like that sometimes when somebody's praying? And really, I see a couple smiles. You've been there too, haven't you? They went, oops, okay, God, let me get back to that prayer. I just wandered away for a few minutes while he was praying. The best way to stay focused is to pray the same words that person's praying. That's how I learned prayer as a Baptist church as a child, is just listening and praying right along with that person. And when I do that, I'm more inclined to stay in that attitude of prayer rather than wandering away and then coming back to that prayer before he says amen. Oh yeah, God, and everything else he said too, amen. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, and he says, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel." Again, that's Philippians 1, 27. Folks, whenever a church is not standing firm, that's what he's talking about. I pray that you're standing firm and you'll stand firm in one spirit. When a church is not standing firm in the spirit or unified, can that church truly expect to be used by God to accomplish his will? What do you think? Whenever a church is not standing firm in one spirit, in unity, when a church is not standing firm in unity, do you truly believe that God, that church can be used by God to fulfill his ultimate accomplishment? Do you think so? No. We all know that. We may not want to admit it, but we know that's true. That God can't use that church in full until we get to that point as a church, as a body, of standing firm in God's Spirit. And until then, could it be that we're only playing church? Could very well be, couldn't it? Do you want to be used, individually, personally, do you want to be used by God in that way? What do you think? Do you want this church to be used by God in that manner? Do you want God to use this church in that manner? Would you like to be a part of something that they're talking about in heaven when we get to heaven, even if that's 30, 40, 50 years from now? When we get to heaven, they're talking about, you know, people, I work with somebody that was part of it, but people still talk about the Asbury Revival, the Great Awakening, 100 and some years ago. I don't know anybody that was alive then, but I know people that were alive during the Asbury Revival, and they still talk about what happened. Or other people that have been at other revivals, other places, and seen that. Do you want to be used and be a part of something like that? Would you like to be counted in that number? I sure do. I do. And it's not about me, because again, that's one of those things that everybody can look at it and I can say, man, I was there. I mean, a move like that happened even here in this church while I'm your interim. There's still no way that I could say, guess what? This guy right here, yeah, I did the interim during that time. God would strike me down right there. There ain't no way I would do that. It's not about George. It's not about anything George can do. Because without God, George can do nothing. Nothing good can come from George. It's all about what God can do. Let's pray. And this is from Philippians 1:27. Oh God, dear God, our God, break us. This week, break us so that each one of our lives is worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, let it be known far and wide that your people, Central Baptist Church, Paris, Kentucky, are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Start with me, oh God. Break me this week where I need to be broken. Then stretch out my arms with open willingness, God, to be filled up by others. Stretch out my arms to say, I'm ready, I'm willing, speak into me, help me to be filled by others. And then also open my arms to lift up others. To lift up others with me in your will as we strive side by side for the faith of the gospel. And God, when I begin to fall into a routine of my own selfish desires or my old prayer life, convict me. Convict me, Lord. Help me to understand that I'm slipping. And then lift me out by the power of your word and of your Holy Spirit. Lead others in this congregation to encourage me with positive comments and encouragement. And likewise, lead me to lift up others in the same manner. Amen. This week, on day one, we're going to intercede for the church. We're going to pray for the church as a whole. We're going to pray for the church, for individuals in the church and the church as a whole. On this day, we will be praying for forgiveness. We're going to be praying for forgiveness of the sin, for the sins of the church. Oftentimes, we don't think about that. We think about what somebody else did that was not what we liked, so we call that a sin. But we don't often think and pray for the sins of the church. So this week, we're going to pray tomorrow on Monday, or the first day, whatever day you do the first day, we're going to pray for forgiveness for the sins of the church. And we're all sinners. We're all sinners, and we all stand in need of forgiveness. And here's a shocker for you. We're all sinners. We all stand in the need of forgiveness every day. Amen. Every day. So pray for the church as a whole. Not just for those who disagree with you. Pray for the church as a whole. That everyone would get in line and align their thoughts with God's thinking. Not just for those you disagree with, but for everyone. Then on day two, we'll be praying for holiness. Holiness is God-likeness. You realize that? Holiness is God-likeness. To be Christian actually means to be Christ-like. To be like Christ. To be Christ-like. That's what the word Christian means, to be Christ-like. Christ is part of the Godhead, the Trinity. Therefore, he is holy. Christ is holy. So we are to be holy as he is holy. And you and I are incapable of being holy on our own. We're incapable of being holy because we live in the fallen flesh. We're incapable of being holy without the power of the Holy Spirit and our cleansing through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we'll pray for holiness on day two. On day three, we will be praying for our belief in sound doctrine. Now on this day, what I do not want is that do not pray that everyone would get in line with your personal doctrine. Rather, what we want to pray is that you first and then everyone else would seek God's doctrine. There's an ideal thought, isn't it? We would seek God's doctrine. Every person would seek God's doctrine, not man's doctrine, not my doctrine, not what I think or what you think or what somebody else thinks. We would seek God's doctrine as he intends it and as he purposes. Oftentimes, we get hung up on man's doctrine and we want to call it God's doctrine. I follow this man, or I like the doctrine of this man. What did Paul say? He said, it's not about me. It's not about Apollos. I may have planted, Apollos may have watered, but God's the one that gave the increase. And so oftentimes I think we get hung up on man's doctrine and we want to call it God's doctrine. And when we do this, we place God and Christ in the back seat. And we put someone else in the driver's seat because we want to follow a particular man. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 19 says this, and I love this again from the Apostle Paul. He says, and this is him praying for, or talking about how he prays for the church at Ephesus. He says, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What is the wealth of his glorious saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the mighty working of some other man's strength? No, of his strength, is what it says. Now, does this verse, anywhere in this verse, does this come from a man? He says, I pray that the Father, which is God, not man, God says, I pray that the Father would give you the spirit of wisdom. Doesn't say anything about man, does it? It's from God alone that He would give you the spirit of wisdom. He would give you revelation in the knowledge of what some other man said 500 years ago. No. Of what the president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary says. No. Of what the president of any seminary says. Of what the president of the Southern Baptist Convention says. Of what your pastor George Yates says. No, it doesn't say that at all, does it? It says of the Father. From the Father. Only from Him. You see, folks, we do not need to follow man's interpretation. Only that of God. When we follow man, we sit in judgment of everyone who does not believe the way we believe. When we follow man, we sit in judgment of others who do not match up with our thoughts and our beliefs. When we focus on the hope of God's calling on our lives, then and then alone, God can and will do great things through us individually and as a church. Only then can He use us as a unified body of believers. Spend a little more time on that one with day three, but day four, our prayers and our prayer emphasis will be on renewed and deepened fellowship. Several of you nodded in agreement a while ago when I talked about we need a deepened and renewed fellowship here within our congregation, and we do. Part of that's from COVID. Part of that's from things that events that have happened in the last year. Part of that could be from things that have happened even prior to that, prior to COVID. But we need a renewed and deepened fellowship within our congregation. All God's family members at Central Baptist Church. Fellowship has been fractured. We can try to deny it if we want, but fellowship has been fractured. It's even been broken in some cases. We all live in broken vessels, folks, because we live in the flesh, the fallen flesh. So we all live in broken vessels. We all need each other to bond together, to come together, to unite together, to strengthen one another. Not fearful of speaking to others. Well, I can't go talk to them because I'm afraid to go share with this one because, or you know, that. We've got to get away from all of that. That's where we've got to ask God to purify our hearts and bring a renewed and a deepened fellowship to us as a congregation. And it all begins with me and my prayer life. It all begins with whoever we are and where we're at in our prayer life. And then on day five, our prayer focus will be on servant leaders, being servant leaders. And not only our staff, not only our elected or ministry leaders, but every person in this church is a leader somewhere in your life. And God needs you to lead out and be His servant leader. And so on this day, on day five, we want to thank God for His amazing gifting of grace to every person in this church. And I really encourage you to pray that and just pray, God, every person, you have gifted every person in this church. And I want to thank you for that because that's only by your grace that you've given every person here special gifting to serve you in some fashion in our church and through this church to the community and beyond. You see, folks, our prayers for this day should include unifying together with all the spiritual gifts, all the talents that God has given us, all that He has afforded us, so that He, not we, so that He can accomplish God-sized miracles through this His church. Wonders, amazing wonders, divine wonders, among us, in this community, and around the globe. So as you pray this week, please do not pray as usual. As you pray this week, ask God, even tonight, even now, and I'll probably pray this in just a few minutes as we close out, but pray that God would grow you and deepen you in your prayer life to areas that you may not have ever thought of or imagined this week. Because He can do it. He wants to do it. He desires to do it because He is glorified when you receive that blessing. When you receive that blessing and you ask for things like that, God just glorified because He wants to pour out. He wants to pour out more on you than you've ever dreamed of or imagined. And so as you pray this week, please do not pray as usual. Ask God to break your heart for Him, just like I prayed a while ago. God, break my heart. Start with me. Break my heart first. You see, folks, you might even say, I'm cautious. I might even be fearful that if this week, as individuals, our prayer life does not go deeper this week, we may be praying in vain. That's a caution and a fear of mine. And that's not what I want. I want to see God do something through this church that will blow people's minds. I'll just use that. I don't know how else to say it. I want to see God do something through this church that will blow people's minds. Here in the community, at the Kentucky Baptist Convention, wherever the word goes out. Some of you are on Facebook. I'm on Facebook and other social media networks too. And there are people that read my stuff from all over the globe. I want God to do something here that will blow people's minds. And I desire to see a moving of God so strong that it scares me so much. It scares me to the point of being cautious with every word I say. I want to see a moving of God so strong that it puts the fear in me to be cautious with every word I say and every move that I make so that I make sure that I'm staying in God's will. And absolutely every word and every thought and every deed that I do. I want to stay in His word and His will. And I want this church to be something that this church has never even thought it could be. You've always thought you could be something great for God. You've had some great history. You've got some great history. God's done some great things here. But what I want to see all those fail in comparison to what our great God wants to do and can do and what He will do in the future. It may be long after I'm gone. That's okay, because I'm going to rejoice with you. You know, you see me standing up here, and I've said this to some group before, you'll see me standing up here, and you may not know if I'm singing or not. I'm singing normally. Now, this morning, a little bit, maybe not every song, but I'm singing, and you can tell that I'm worshiping because I'm doing this. And this is what it looks like for you. I'm doing that. And I don't move my feet because then I would be accused of being of dancing, and you can't do that and be a Baptist too. So, but I want God to do a great moving here, and I want and I will when that day comes, even if I'm long gone from here, my feet are probably going to be moving too. Amen. When I hear the great movement that God's doing in this church, and know who He's doing it through. You and those others. So let's go tonight in prayer, asking God to break our hearts, break my heart first, and bring us together as a unified body of Christ through prayer. Let's pray. Father God, we do come to you tonight thanking you so much. I thank you for how you've encouraged me tonight through your speaking and through allowing you to speak through me. And Father, it's not about me. It's not about any word that I said, but it's about your Holy Spirit. And I'm so grateful that you've given me your Holy Spirit and these others here to receive what your Holy Spirit teaches. God, I would not want to stand up here and pray that you never allow me to stand in front of a group of people sharing your word without your Holy Spirit. Father, this week you've led us in this time to study this week and to pray this week for unifying in prayer as a church body. So, Father, begin tonight with us that are here, and then somehow, some way, for those who are not able to be here tonight, as they hopefully they get to listen and will take the time, and you'll give them the time to listen to the podcast. But, Father, even if they don't, when they read the scripture for tomorrow and they begin reading the prayer, help them to internalize that prayer, to make that prayer their prayer, and help them to understand what that sentence means. It says, "Break my heart, O God." And then do that. Break our hearts to be something that only you can cause us to be. Break our hearts, Lord, that we would be faithful to you. And we would seek not our own desires, not our own wishes, but even when we pray for the sickness of others, we would pray in your will. And we would pray for this church body to be unified in prayer. Because if we unify in prayer, we're unifying with you, agreeing with you. We're bringing ourselves in alignment with your will. And if I'm in alignment with your will and everyone else in this room and in this church is in alignment with your will, then we're automatically in alignment with one another. Just another one of the beauties of what you've done, how you've designed us. Thank you for that. Father, give us all time. And for some of us, if we've got the time more, then lead us to pray this daily prayers and to read these scriptures more than once a day. And then help us to share it with others and to encourage one another. Encourage those who are not here. Lord, as we interact with others this week, or maybe even as we read and study and pray, and as you touch our hearts, that we would reach out to someone else in the church and say, "Hey, have you done your daily reading this today and that daily prayer that we're praying together today? It's powerful." Let us reach across the aisles and across the ways to encourage one another to seek out aligning our hearts with your will. And in each of the emphasis for the 5 days, may we unite together with you in what God is doing, you, God, are doing and want to do in and through this church. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I will not be here Wednesday. I was supposed to be here this past Wednesday, and of course, thought I had COVID, or we took a COVID test and they advised me to stay home with that, plus all the palsy stuff that was going on. That test came back negative, of course. But I really appreciate Mike James coming in. He really enjoyed being here. This coming week, Alex Kinchin will be here. He is one of the three of us that's working on the transition team and unity and all that's part of what we're doing. He was planned to be here, whether I was going to be here or not. This is 1 week that he's planned, that we've got him. We want him coming in and interacting with you too during this time. So during this 6 weeks, he'll be here, I think, twice, maybe three times. David Stokes may be here one. He's the third person on that team. And so you know David. Alex has actually preached for you before. I don't remember when the last time was he preached, but you'll recognize him if you've been here when he comes in Wednesday night. But so, Tony, if you could have somebody do like we did this past week, have somebody do the prayer part, the prayer list part, and then just hand it over to Alex after that. We appreciate that. Appreciate Tony doing that, pinch hitting when he needs to, or getting others to do that for me whenever that comes, and for Jonathan and his willingness to stand in if something happens and I can't be here. But we have a great God who's doing a great work. And as I said earlier this week in something, I think a post maybe, Satan's not going to get this. Satan's not going to get it because of me. It's not going to be because of me. Satan's not going to take a hold. And even though the enemy may be trying to fight and keep me down, but as long as I can, as long as I'm able, I'm going to be here and be with you. Love you all. I appreciate you all. And let us go in God's peace and in his will tonight. God bless you all.